Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. If you have been with us, then you know we have been giving thought to, we have been contemplating God who is near, God who is omnipresent. As we talk about the omnipresence of our loving God, we have heard from several of our theologian friends. And so let's continue now using both the Bible and the teaching of our respected older brothers in Christ as we think about the close proximity of God in each one of our lives. When we left off last time, we were talking about God's essence. By essence, we mean the essential nature of God, or we can say God's essence is who God is. God's essence is the character of his being, and God is near by his essence. By nature, God is everywhere present. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 24, God speaks, "Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him?" declares the Lord. "Do I not fill the heavens and the earth?" declares the Lord. God tells us himself that we cannot hide from him because he fills the heavens and the earth. This reminds us of Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. We had these verses at the start of this series, but I remind you of them. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you." Commenting on this text, theologian Francis Turretin writes, quote, "The design of the psalmist is to show that no one can be concealed from God, so as not to be seen by him, because he can be nowhere where God is not, and can hide himself in no place where God cannot easily detect him, since the darkness and the light are both alike to God," unquote. It is impossible to hide from the Lord. It is impossible to go where God is not, because God is everywhere. And for those of you who may retort, "Oh, really? Is God with the wicked? Does God go to sinful, sordid, and evil places?" We will answer your question soon, but not yet. Stay tuned. Let me get a couple of other scriptures on your mind and let these seep down into your heart this day. I'm thinking of Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, regarding building a house for God, as if we could do such a thing. The Lord speaks through Isaiah. I am reading Isaiah 66, 1. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me, and where is a place that I may rest?" The whole universe is God's dwelling place. He fills all space and all place. We cannot build him a house that contains him to one location. God is all present everywhere. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Over in the New Testament book of Acts, Stephen referred to this passage in Isaiah, making the argument that God does not dwell in houses made by human hands. Read Acts 7, verses 49 and 50. Acts 7, 49 and 50. God refuses to live in a bricks and mortar temple or tabernacle or church. Where he wants to dwell is within our hearts. You might remember Jesus' words in John chapter 14 and verse 23. I love this. Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. What a promise! The triune God will make his home, his abode in all who love Jesus and keep, that is, obey his word. God is in us. Yes, God dwells in believers through the Holy Spirit. But even then, God is so immense that he simultaneously dwells in the whole universe and beyond the universe. We just cannot pin God down to one place. Even in heaven, someone else says. Yes, God is not contained even in heaven, but we will get to that. Let me get another verse on your mind. This will be 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27. 1 Kings 8, 27. This is Solomon speaking. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house which I have built. As Solomon dedicates the temple, he reminds us of this deep, deep truth. Heaven, the highest heaven, cannot contain God, nor can any house, tabernacle, temple, or church built for God here on earth. In your Bible or somewhere that you keep notes, I hope you will write down these references, read them for yourself, and think deeply about them. Jeremiah 23, verse 24, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, Isaiah 66, verse 1, and 1 Kings 8, verse 27. Quoting Turretin, "For where God is not, there he cannot operate, because he operates immediately by his essence. Therefore, if he operates everywhere, he must be everywhere." Oh, that is so well said. It does not even work to imagine, hypothetically, that there is somewhere God could not be. If God were not somewhere, then he would not be God, because it is the nature of God. It is God's essence to be everywhere. Think about that. It may take you a few minutes because you are busy and you have a lot going on, but I invite you to lift your head up out of the busyness and to reflect on who God is. I will give you Turretin again. "For where God is not, there he cannot operate, because he operates immediately by his essence. Therefore, if he operates everywhere, he must be everywhere." When we contemplate this, we may feel as if our brains will blow up. This is mind-blowing because we have finite minds, but God is infinite, and the finite cannot comprehend the infinite. It is very difficult for us mere creatures to measure or calculate the Creator. It is a good thing for the doctrine of God's immensity and omnipresence to be challenging for us to comprehend. This reminds us of our limitations, and it causes us to remember and celebrate afresh and anew the limitlessness of God. And this should cause us to worship the God who is not limited. All right, having laid down the foundation for the doctrine of the immensity and omnipresence of God, I do want to take some time to address questions or even criticisms to the truth that God is everywhere present. Or in the words of Charles Hodge, God is an everywhere present being. God is an everywhere present being. And the first question deals with a careful distinction that we Bible-believing Christians must make. Here is the question. Is there no difference between pantheism and biblical Christianity? I repeat, is there no difference between pantheism and biblical Christianity? And maybe you have had this question as you listened to me over the last few days. I'm glad for this question because it is essential that we make a very clear, sharp distinction between pantheism and biblical Christianity. So let's begin by defining pantheism. What is that? Being direct, pantheism says that God is everything and everyone, and that everyone and everything is God. Everything is God. So the sun is God, the moon is God, the sky is God, the tree is God, the rock is God, the animal is God. Everyone is God. You are God, I am God. The whole universe is God. God is everything. God is everyone. Contrary to pantheism, as we have been saying, God is everywhere present, but God is not everything. God is not everyone. God is present to or at the tree, but God is not the tree. God is present to every person, but that does not make every person God. God lives inside every Christian person, but that does not make the Christian person God. Pantheism is not biblical. Pantheism is false religion. It is idolatry. Since we are almost out of time for today, I want to come back to this first thing next time. Our first question is this: is there no difference between pantheism and biblical Christianity? Our answer: there is a difference between pantheism and biblical Christianity. A big difference. I will say more about the difference, and then we will get to our second question. Prayerfully, I hope you are learning a lot of value, both to your intellectual understanding of God's presence, and also to your heart, where your affections live, and to the application of this truth for everyday life. I still have lots more to share with you, so there will be more on this next time, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.